a mochi moment from Tara, who writes, "For years, all my doctor said was eat less and move more, which never worked. But you know what does? The simple eating tips from my nutritionist at Mochi. And after losing over 30 pounds, I can say you're not just another GLP-1 source. You're a life source. Thanks, Tara. I'm Myra Amid, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Tara is a Mochi member compensated for her story.
Football is back, and so is winning season at MyBookie. NFL, college football, and a brand new cash-out system give you options on how to bet and to win all season long. First two legs of your parlay hit? Great. Get out while the getting is good. Cash out and use the funds on another bet, or let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Use early cash outs as a tool to stay in control of the action at MyBookie. To get started, go to MyBookie.ag now and register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. Just use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. And for a limited time, a free chip to use in the MyBookie casino. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie. This is the ZABE cast. From the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go.
This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Edwards on the steal. Edwards, oh, what a move to the rack!
Case on a deep drop. Steps up in the pocket. He'll fire to the right side. Caught by Diggs. Stay
alive! Oh, my God! Oh, my God!
30!
No!
10!
Touchdown! Are you kidding me?
Miracle finish!
It's a Minneapolis miracle!
Into deep left center for Mitchell. We'll see you tomorrow.
Why are you doing this? It was our idea together, right?
Yeah, okay.
Why am I doing this? Because Charge is with us in Minneapolis. Horace Greeley said, go west, young man. I jumped on the open there, Charge.
Yeah,
he's good.
You're a pro. You've hit it a million times. You get to do that.
Anyway, Charge is with us. Our final launch off before the NFL season. There's your march right there with the Utah song. You went back to Minneapolis to what? Visit friends? To mop up anything left at the old house? What'd you do there?
Yeah, some of that stuff. Do some radio appearances at the Minnesota State Fair. Which
okay.
Is always pandemonium.
Okay, I want to talk about the Minnesota State Fair, and I want to talk about the viral clip of Justin Jefferson purportedly blowing off autograph seekers with his posse. I thought that was the wrongest thing ever. Like, the dude scores touchdowns for you guys and makes miracles happen. Can you just leave him alone for 5 minutes while he's getting a goddamn corn dog? That was my take on it. I did not like that Jefferson was getting autograph shamed at the State Fair.
Absurd. And the fact that what I worry about, Zabe, is the message that it now sends to him and other athletes of his elite nature to simply never interact with the public because we're assholes that are unforgiving and don't care about, you know, that person's experience. Justin Jefferson came to the KFAN booth. Which he does not have to do in a crowd of over a quarter million people at the State Fair.
Mm-hmm.
He took it upon himself to come in and risk exactly that, to go be on the air live in our studio in front of what would end up being, you know, about 500 people that are all watching the interview.
So that's why he went to the KFAN studio that's in the box, the hot box there at the State Fair.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
That's exactly, which he does not have to do. And the other amazing thing he does, I don't know if you know this, for one quarter of one of our preseason games, he is hot mic'd for the entire quarter. And he is reacting to the plays on the field and telling stories and high-fiving other guys on the sideline. This is Justin Jefferson. He is A-plus
superstar,
you know, elite superstar athlete in terms of how he handles himself and his interactions with the public. And I hate that we did this to him.
He's so much better than Randy Moss with the public. Remember Randy Moss? Man, where's my car at? That's all he gave a shit about. Straight cash, homie. Straight cash.
Yep. He was such a dick to everybody.
Total dick.
He was. He was a total dick. And to teammates, to coaches, to the PR,
and
to
now,
fans.
And now it's like,
everybody.
Oh, Randy Moss has cancer. Oh, thoughts and prayers. Which, by the way, of course, we want him to recover and all. But it was almost like warm and fuzzies where you're like, yeah, well, maybe you shouldn't have been such an asshole when you played, when you were flying high. But immaturity and money, I guess, who knows?
Yeah, and I've interviewed him several times post-career,
and
he's become a very, very, very good interview, and he's been generous with his time. I've never worked up the guts to ask that question.
Which like,
Randy,
is, did you ever
why
find
why were you such a dickhead?
Where's my ride at?
Where's my ride?
Where's my ride at Randy Moss getting all pissed off? But then again, he was such a phenomenon. Or phenomenon? Phenomena.
Zabe.
We complete each other's sentences. We complete each other's pop culture references. You do know where that song is from and what it's called, right?
Well, Sesame Street or Electric Company, Sesame Street.
It goes back even further than that.
No, tell me. I'm interested.
The Manamana song from the Muppets began as a soundtrack to a Swedish porn show.
Shut up.
I will not. I'm looking for it right now here. 1965.
No way. This is the least sexy song in the history of music.
Well,
I don't think I could perform to this.
If you saw a hot-looking ABBA knockoff with full bush, you might think differently.
I don't think I would. Oh, listen to this. It's so bad.
So yeah, Mana
now,
Mana Mana spelled MAH-NA, and then once again MAH-NA. Aerial Records, 1969.
Wow, where does this land in the hierarchy of the Benny Hill song? Yakety Sax.
Yakety Sax. Sax, right. Okay.
Where does this compare to Yakety Sax? I think these are very much cut from the same cloth in the same era.
I would agree. Now, for those that don't know Benny Hill was a British comedy that had one running bit in which one of the perverts on Benny Hill would chase somebody around in public and they would play Yakety Sax, this song, as the soundtrack to it. Come on, hit play. It was just meant to imply a sort of a madcap scene.
Yes. Yes.
And of course, the bit would always involve open public perversion, like Benny Hill gaping at a woman on the street or just trying to get a look up her skirt. Things that today would not fly in a
never fly
million years.
How How many times did Benny Hill walk up to a girl in the trench coat and then open the trench coat, right?
I mean, he's showing his dirty genitals to a stranger on the street. That wacky Benny Hill.
Yeah. Oh, that's just Benny.
Oh, boy. You got to put up with some of that. Of course, what's happening in Europe now, which is truly insane, sickening, and tragic with these Pakistani rape gangs that the government and the UK are covering up. They're actively covering this shit up because they're like, we can't be insensitive to migrants, is insanity. And you saw the little Scottish girl, the 12-year-old, who got arrested for brandishing an axe and a knife to defend her and her sister from a immigrant who was walking after them publicly, and they were afraid that they were going to get raped. And they arrested the girl. They arrested a 12-year-old girl. Hey, society, when you're arresting the 12-year-old girl, you got it wrong. I don't give a shit about your weapons laws or, well, she's not allowed to have an axe like that. No, no, no. There was a fucking reason she was doing that. The real world.
Yeah, not,
the
she
real
was not,
world
she, a 12,
is too much to arm, sometimes.
Yeah. 12-year-olds feel like they have to be armed in Britain. 12-year-olds, you know, and they think we have a weapon problem here. Ha! Unbelievable you know, a 12-year-old that's feel that way. Back to Randy Moss for just a minute, if you don't mind.
Not a problem.
I want to scroll back to his rookie year. So that would be 1998. Randy Moss's rookie year. Randy Moss.
Hold
fell
on. There's
in
some.
The
there's some. Inter- there's some interruption going on. Are you typing on your keyboard as I?
No.
Okay. It might be on.
I am walking. I am pacing in my. I am pacing. Okay. I am on my earbuds so that I do not have to carry the phone the whole time. Do you want me to switch?
Could you jump off of that and see if it's in? It,
sure.
Because it was. Yeah. It just. I hate that. I hate to do this. All too.
Right. How's all that? Right.
That's actually better. Yeah.
Okay. Good. Yeah. All well, right. It usually is.
Okay.
All right, back to Randy Moss, 1998 rookie year. If you remember in the draft, he fell on character concerns. He was the most talked about player heading into that draft by a mile, and everybody had seen what he had done at Marshall, just carving up college football.
Oh.
But there were people that were like, it's just Marshall, and you know they're playing Mid-Atlantic Conference teams, whatever.
Right.
And he fell in the draft, classically went past the Cowboys, who Jerry Jones had told him that if he were available, the Cowboys would take him, and then they didn't. And the Vikings took him at, I think, 19 in the draft that year.
I think he was in the 20s. He went after Kevin Dyson.
He did. Tennessee's Kevin Dyson at same position. Some,
right.
Some evaluator said our franchise would be better with Kevin Dyson than Randy Moss.
Now, Dyson did catch the ball
position.
That went to the one in the Super Bowl. Not
that's
the
right.
goal line, but the one.
The one.
21st overall. 21st overall for
nicely
Randy
done.
Moss.
You,
well,
yeah,
I, the internet's open right now, believe it or not, so I jumped on.
It's open for business.
I
that helps.
On, yes.
That training camp, as the Vikings get into training camp, we're hearing and seeing, because we're broadcasting from there every day on KFAN, a superstar, the likes of which we've never seen before, and it's just bomb after bomb after bomb downfield to Moss. In a day before, everybody had cell phones and cameras and stuff, so this thing wasn't really hitting most of the rest of the world.
Really?
But we're seeing it. We're like, we can't cover him, and also our quarterbacks can't outthrow him. You know, they're throwing their arm out of socket on these 70-yard pass. Not even 70, they couldn't throw that far. 50-yard
right.
passes, and Moss is just getting under them with ease.
Right.
And it's just day after day. And I'm in the middle of putting together my fantasy football rankings, and I keep having – and I got a magazine. This is still in the magazine era. This is the late 90s. And I got a magazine to put out, and I can't just – move everybody around in a magazine like you can on a website where I can just like drag
right.
a player around and then
right.
his ranking changes. I got to move whole blocks of text. I have to reorder everybody. If I move Randy from wide receiver 50 to wide receiver 40, I got to shuffle 10, 11 guys and blah, blah, blah. It's a big problem. That's that at back then we had a fantasy football expo that we ran in the Metrodome in mid-August. And this is the late 90s. Fantasy football is still a young thing there. But we would bring people in. We brought in Chris Mortensen from ESPN. And we had a number of other sort of celebrity speakers. And they would talk about what's going on around the NFL and who's going to be good and who wasn't. And we did mock drafts. And we did, you know, all the stuff you do at a fantasy football convention on the floor of the Metrodome. One year, we got Randy Moss and Robert Smith and Brian Billick.
Wow.
To attend our fantasy football expo at no cost, which is stupid. That we didn't pay them anything, which was dumb. We should have paid them in retrospect, but we were young and dumb and
but
cheap.
They said yes to zero. They so said why yes not to take zero. Them?
Right. Yes. And they all came. And
that's incredible. What a different day and age it is. Now everyone has their hand out for anything and everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, we should have, and I regret to this day that we didn't do something for them. We should have. But Moss is there and we're doing a Q&A. They refused to do autographs, but they were willing to do a Q&A. So I'm like, okay. So we're doing the Q&A and I got the magazine right next to me. And I had moved Randy Moss up from like, you know, this is an era when rookie wide receivers never did anything in the late 90s. I mean, you know, nobody ever did anything. So I'd moved him up from like wide receiver 65 up to like wide receiver 40 or something like that.
Okay.
And he's leafing through the magazine to find his own name. And Ross is sitting next to me and he elbows me and goes, "This is your magazine?" And I'm like, "Yeah." "You ranked me at 40? "Yeah." And he just shakes his head. It's like,
wow. And did you try to say, "But I moved you up when nobody else moved you up"? Like, I probably have the highest ranking of you of anybody in this business. You were 65. 40 is not bad, Randall. Yeah. Can we be friends? Do you want to go out for a drink later on?
You want to play some Sega? You want to play some Madden?
But that's okay. So that's what a story, Charge. Thank you for bringing that story to the table. That not only brings to light just a more innocent day and age, a less mechanized and monetized NFL in which you can get key players to do something for free.
Yeah.
But it also reminds us of how we'll probably never have another phenom like Randy Moss because there's too much eyes on every corner of college football, including the Marshall universities. And so guys get found and they're not a surprise because a 6'4", 210-pound guy with feathery soft hands and a 40-yard dash time that could lift the lid off of anybody was what Randy Moss was, and nobody had any fucking idea how insane he was going to be.
Well, okay, I'll push back because even when he was at Marshall, we were seeing highlights of every game because he was tearing up college football, and
he came into that draft
hugely popular.
You're right. At least he was taken 21st, but I guess it's still undershot what he was going to be in the pros is my point. Like, will we see a guy, is there a wide receiver? Maybe Matthew Golden will be that guy for the Packers, also drafted in the 20s, because they've listed him on their depth chart, if you believe depth charts, as their WR1 next to Dobbs. Golden and Dobbs are the 1-2. We'll see about that. But anyway, I do have a depth chart question for you. But before we get too far.
Well, hold on. Yeah, hold on. Wait, just one more thing on this. You're talking about how hard it is for somebody to really blow up from unknown now. I will give you from 2 years ago, Puka Nacua
from Utah.
None of us were following Utah football very closely, or most of us weren't. And he went on to set the all-time rookie receiving record, went berserk. So, you know, it's even in today's day and age, I think we can.
Cooper Kupp was a third round pick. Was Cooper Kupp third or second?
Yeah. I'll look that up. Third.
So Cooper Kupp was blowing up and people are like, "Holy shit, this guy can't be covered. He's got great hands. He's really tough. He's a white boy. Look at him go." So, okay, I retract my statement. There is still guys that exceed expectations in a big way. Some are thinking that maybe the Lions now, WR3, Isaac Teslaw?
Slaw, like the coleslaw.
Teslaw.
Yes.
T-E capital S-L-A-A.
A, yeah.
White guy out of, where is he out of? Here we go. Isaac Tesla.
I should know this.
I mean, beautiful locks. By the way, great hair. Great cabbage on this guy. Played at Arkansas. He's from Arkansas, but Unity Christian High School in Hudsonville, Michigan. He's a 23-year-old rookie. 23. So he's a guy that used up all them COVID extra years that they gave kids in college.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. The Gophers last weekend played against a seventh-year starting quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. So Isaac Tesla, third round pick, 70th overall, could become one of those guys that blows up. Speaking of Randy Moss, so I love how this is now, we're on the verge of the season. Season begins tonight, Cowboys, Eagles, and the NFL Network once had the greatest campaign of Get Your Story Straight, where they would play, they staged these clips of guys bragging about what they were certain about from the previous season that turned out to be laughably wrong. Here's a couple.
Eli. Closest Eli comes to a Super Bowl ring is when he gives Peyton a manicure.
Randy Moss? Well, the Raiders didn't want him. What's that tell you? Exactly.
Because I'm going to spend the rest of my life with this woman.
And the Bears are going back to the Super Bowl.
Get your story straight. Watch NFL Network.
Get your story straight. Those are all great. Of course, none of that shit happened.
I don't care if it's preseason. Shoot, Raiders are 4-0, baby.
Raiders? Jeff Garcia. I think he's back in Calgary. Playing for the Stampeders.
Of course I didn't draft Drew Brees. What am I, an idiot?
Idiot?
LT's good. Between the 20s.
Last but not least, two tickets to the Steelers home finale against the Ravens. We're sending you out on top, Bob.
I love it. That's so good.
It's great because they show guys being guys in different settings and the cockiness we have as fans thinking we know shit and nobody knows anything. I love the guy that goes, LT's good. Between the 20s, right before I think LT set the single season record for rushing touchdowns. He had like 29 touchdowns that year.
LT's good. Between the 20s.
So what I want to know about this campaign, Zabe, is are these things that people actually did say in advance of the season? Or
no.
Did they film them after the season?
No.
For the absurdity of it all.
No, because they picked the most. And I'm sure I think the season that they gave the old timer, the Pittsburgh fan, we're sending it out on top was the year the Ravens beat them in that final game. I'm pretty sure that that's the case. Drew Brees, of course, had a huge year. Like, of course I didn't draft Drew Brees. What do you think, I'm an idiot? But that is why this is a $20 billion league that will open in Brazil Friday with the Chiefs and the Chargers. And they start on Thursday with the defending champs, and the games are on 7 different outlets. Is that right? We up to 7 now?
Over the course of the season, 7 different outlets. And I think your total outlay to, if you want to watch every single NFL game this year, is in the neighborhood of $1,000.
It's close to $1,000. And people bitched about it. And I said, oh, you're going to have to show me the part of the Constitution of the United States of America that said you are entitled to watch every NFL game for every team for free or for less than $1,000. We're of an age, Charge, in which we couldn't even get every game. You were not even available to get them. And so therefore, it's like you should be thankful.
Zabe, you don't know how hard it was to put together a weekly fantasy football magazine in the 90s based on the 3 games I could see on local television in the Minneapolis market. And I'm writing a magazine that's covering 32 teams, and I can't see, other than the highlights of, you know, Chris Berman and highlights and break-ins and stuff, I can't see anything. I have no ability to watch any of the other games. Those were the bad old days right there. Yeah. Before Red Zone, before the NFL ticket, that was tough.
LaDainian Tomlinson, 2006, 1,815 yards, 28 rushing touchdowns, and yes. three receiving touchdowns on top of that. In other words, every week he had two fucking touchdowns and 100 yards.
Unbelievable.
Every Unbelievable. Week. And yes. He played 16 of 16 games.
Yep. And, how about that?
Oh, my God. Look at his stretch here. Okay. This is unbelievable. I mean, I lived the LT era, as did you. But it's still mind-boggling to look back at this. They must have – I don't know why running backs break more now than ever. Because 2006 is not that long ago. But LT's career, he played 16 of 16, 16 of 16, 16 of 16, 15 of 15, or 15 of 16, 16 of 16, 16 of 16, 16 of 16, 16 wow. of 16 in his age Jeez. 29 season. He was tapering off. He still had 1,100 yards in his age 29 season.
Yeah, with all of those miles.
And 11 touchdowns, which is still a bomb year by today's standards in the yes. NFL with the god-awful running back by committee. So speaking of that in depth charts, I found this note hilarious. You're supposed to pay attention in August to see who's going to be good, right? And be like, oh, I'm smarter than the average fantasy football bear. I'm going to take this player because I know he did great. Well, everybody knew the kind of August that Commanders running back Jacory Bill Crosky-Merritt was having. Everyone knew about it, right? And he was a darling of, look where I got Jacory Crosky-Merritt, who wants to go by Bill because his given name of Jacory he never liked. Well, he's now fourth on the depth chart. First depth chart the Commanders put out. They're like, yeah, he's our fourth guy. We'll try to mix him in as best we can. That unbelievable. Is hilarious, isn't it?
And it's from a fantasy football implication. It's you know, this was the biggest darling, the biggest mover in average draft position of the entire preseason. You went up 100 picks from August 1st to September 1st.
ADP
100 in average draft position. Yes, you went from roughly pick 200 to pick 100, and it was all based on the Brian Robinson trade. Then people looking at the depth chart and then looking up some of his college videos, and he looked good.
Yeah.
He had one touchdown run in the preseason, but otherwise looked very mundane. And then that was it. Everybody wanted to be the smartest one in the room, and maybe he'll end up being great. I don't think so, but you know, we don't know yet. Maybe it'll end up being that 100th pick overall ended up being worth it, but I don't think it's gonna, people are so desperate for an angle for their fantasy rosters because everybody knows everything now. In the old days, you had no freaking idea what was going on in Denver. Now, you know, everybody knows everything that's happening in the world of football. There are no secrets. So people are grasping to try to find these angles.
Yeah. Do you believe in the AI analysis agents now that are used to grade people's fantasy drafts?
Oh, they're so bad. They're so, so bad. There is no worse sign for your season than to get an A ranking from one of the post-draft agents. That is a sure sign of impending doom for your team.
Really? Well, I got an F according to the Yahoo Fantasy Draft AI agent.
In the Whiskey League.
In the Whiskey League, yes.
Guillotine. Yes, right. Guillotine style. That's the difference, right?
Right. Well, okay, so I went running back first at the 10th overall pick. By the way, can you hear the vacuum outside my door right now?
I can.
Okay, good. I can't help when the cleaners come by, and I guess we have a ride-on vacuum now that's the size of a lawnmower. I don't know what's going on. You know what? I need to invest in a studio door that is fully soundproof. It'll look kind of weird in the house, but you know what? Fuck it.
Yeah, it would. All right.
So I was like, I'm picking 10th. I know that you have said in the past, don't reach for a running back. But I looked, and Ashton Jeanty, the rookie for the Raiders, was still listed in their software as one of the top 15 players. And I said, fuck it, I'm going to take a running back.
I think you did the right thing. I would have done that too.
Okay. And then I maybe reached on a tight end next. I took George Kittle. I understand he's not what he once was, but I don't want to live without a good tight end.
Good. So that could have been. I think that's fine too.
Okay. Well, apparently the AI bot doesn't like it. And then by the time I got to the third pick, I took DK Metcalf, who I don't really like personally, but I figured they spent a lot of money for him. Rodgers probably going to throw it to him. We'll see. I mean, look.
And look at what Rodgers did with Davante Adams. When he had one, you know, Rodgers is a guy who's got his alphas, and he feeds his alpha. And the only guy that description fits at all in Pittsburgh is DK Metcalf. And that's why you're probably going to be just fine with that pick.
Yeah. Well, anyway, the headline in it says, F for a grade. The Violent Bag Apes, that's my team name, named after Stevie Williams, the caddy for Tiger Woods, who used to throw photographers' cameras into lakes if he didn't like them. The Violent Bag Ape, which is what I called Stevie Williams, my Violent Bag Ape. The Violent Bag Apes draft like they're playing for the other team, says the AI report.
That's not very nice.
And then they go compare where I took certain guys with the average draft position or ADP.
So, fools. Yeah. What do they know? And this is guillotine specific, and you got different priorities as in a guillotine league. So tell the Yahoo AI can jam it. That's what I say.
But it's kind of fun that we have it, right? Just because we could make a commercial out of Get Your Story Straight AI, because I bet there's guys who have won the league with grades that are Fs. Because this is the second year now that they've done this, basically.
Yeah, no, they've done this for quite a few years, but notoriously bad at predicting this. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah,
you have nothing to worry about.
All right. Would you like to get on record before we're done today and before the season pushes off from shore? Would you like to get on record for any predictions about stuff? I made sort of half-hearted division winner Super Bowl predictions with Mr. X a week ago. Do you want to get on record with anything here?
You know, I do one of the, because I have this prepped up from radio work that I did here. If you can't pick the Vegas leader in every NFL division, the odds favorite to win the division, who would you pick?
Oh, in other words, no favorites. No favorites. If you had to pick. Okay, that's a good way to look at it. All right, let's go through the divisions, and I'll tell you who of the non-favorites I would like the most.
Perfect. In the AFC North, Baltimore is the favorite. I was tempted by Cleveland, who I think is going to be much, much better, but ultimately yielded to the more obvious selection of Cincinnati in the hopes that they do not have the worst defense in the league.
Since he's obvious, I would take Pittsburgh as a flyer, just in case Rodgers stays upright and has one last Roman candle burst of brilliance, like Favre had with you guys in his final Roman candle burst of brilliance.
And they still have Cam Hayward and TJ Watt, and now they have Jalen Ramsey in their secondary. So you can make that case. That's not a bad case.
Okay.
Weakest division of football, probably AFC South. Houston's your money leader.
South has entered the chat on that one, but go ahead.
Yes, they have. Houston's your Vegas line leader. I chose
Jaguars.
Jacksonville. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yep. The bounce back here, competent coaching, Travis Hunter, Tank Bigsby. I hope I get it right this year. Tank Bigsby.
Let's go, Tank.
Yeah, so I've got Jacksonville. What do you think?
How about Brian Robinson Jr., who's quietly, except for fantasy guys who play fantasy, know how good he is. I think much of the general football public is not fully on board with how good he is. Did I say that right?
Brian Robinson Jr.?
I meant not B. Rob, who's the running back.
Brian Thomas. Yes. Yeah. And he is a freaking beast.
Yeah. Brian Thomas is a beast that fantasy guys know about. The general public doesn't know about. Sound like you don't know about him. You got his name. Fuck you. I get names wrong all the time. I'm getting old. Okay. All right. Next.
AFC West. Obviously, Kansas City is the favorite. This one, you could make a case for pretty much every team. I know people making cases for the Raiders. Fighting hard paws.
That's be my pick. Chargers. Not quite a Bo Nix believer just yet. Not Sean Payton believer. No.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
It's, I well, listen, Sean Payton is my least favorite coach in the NFL. Now that Belichick's gone, he is the biggest dick in the league for sure.
By far.
And if there is a head coach in the NFL who would derive sexual gratification from murdering hobos, it is Sean Payton.
You cannot say that.
If there is one, there is not,
and he is not. I absolutely disassociate myself from any and all of this character slander. All right, let's go to the next division, quick, before the lawyers call me.
Okay, next division, AFC East. You've got Buffalo is the obvious favorite. This is not easy to find another team. Oof. I know the Jets are not going to be in this.
I would take Jellyhead and the Fish in case that Tua does not get concussed this year, which odds are like even money he does.
Yeah. And then and this will be his last one, his last concussion. It'll be a career.
It's terrible. I love Tua, but he's a jellyhead. What can you do?
I'm going to take New England because they addressed the big problems that they had. Worst receivers in the league, worst offensive line in the league. They put the fourth overall pick into their offensive line.
And a shit Drake coach. They replaced and they had a shit coach with a guy who's really
with
good.
A good one.
Yeah.
That's right. They got Vrabel. They brought back Josh McDaniels. Travion Henderson looks like he might be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna go New England as my sneaky upset victor in the AFC East.
All right,
let's go NFC North. Detroit is your money line favorite, but it's become very, very close with the Packers.
I guess if they're I'd take the Packers. But I have been quite unpopular with the local Packer fans when I mention them as the third place in division Packers. Why are you going, Matthew Golden? Mike, I go, you know you were in third place last year. Does that matter to you? Does winning matter? Or do you just want shiny objects? Is this the year you're going to fucking win something? They don't like me pointing that out. Packer fans are a unique group in which they love that they are Packer fans and they love the tradition and everything. And yes, the team is being run competently and they've got a good team that makes a bowl game every year now, but they haven't won shit in forever in terms of anything. You know, I haven't been to the Super Bowl in 15 years. So yeah.
Same here. We Vikings, same thing. Good teams can't win playoff games or haven't. And I understand. But the difference is we're not haughty about it here in Minnesota.
Yeah, the thing is, like, a lot of Packer fans are breezily dismissing you guys, the Vikes, and the Lions, because, you guys lost a quarterback. And, the Lions lost their coordinators. And I've had to say, well, assuming the Vikings staff are not idiots and they think that J.J. McCarthy can replicate what journeyman, who's gone to Seattle, did last year for you guys at quarterback, Sam Darnold. Yep. Like, I'm going to assume your coaches are not idiots. I believe your head coach is a brilliant offensive mind, maybe better than McVay in the league. And with the rest of the team they got, I don't know why you would dismiss a team that you didn't beat last year and finished ahead of you just because they got a new quarterback. I would have some respect for them. And as far as the coordinators for the Lions, I think the overhyping of coordinators in the NFL charts is one of the greatest things going right now. Everyone hypes the fuck out of coordinators. The coordinators get famous because they have good players doing great things for them. And the Lions were down to nubs on defense by the end of the year. And now they got all those guys back. Branch, Anzalone, Hutch. They're a fucking problem, that team. So
they are. It is. And they added the best cornerback in free agency, DJ Reed.
Yeah.
They added DJ Reed because that secondary was like, that was the one glaring weakness was the secondary. Offensive line's taken some hits, but still probably above average.
Packers are better. I'd like to think that, but every year is different. You never know. Every fan of every team looks at the guys they add. They dismiss the guys they lost as that guy sucked or he was always injured.
Right,
and according to every fan base, every team got better. When in fact we know, because we have a brain, some teams get worse. probably half the league gets worse.
Half the league, right. Half the league gets worse.
Right.
And but that doesn't matter. We don't want to hear that.
I know. I know. Okay.
You don't want to
next
hear that.
Division.
Okay, next division. Let's move to the rather
NFC
randomly
South.
NFC South. Yes, Tampa's your money line leader.
Atlanta.
I'm picking Carolina.
Wow.
To be the if I'm not taking Tampa, I'm taking Carolina. Bryce Young, so much better in the second half of last year, where he was roughly statistically, metrically, about the 10th best quarterback in the league.
He really was.
Second half of last year, yes.
Once he got benched and the whole thing blew up and many of us walked away saying, well, he's a dry hole. He quietly put together a good season. I did not know that Dave Canales, in addition to being drop-dead gorgeous handsome, maybe the most handsome coach in the league, putting even LaFleur and McVay to shame, that he is also like this quarterback whisperer that has resurrected the careers of several guys along the way. So maybe he's done it
Baker
to Bryce
Mayfield.
Young. Right. The problem, though, with Bryce Young is he's fucking tiny. Like, he is the smallest dude I've ever seen. He's like Flutie, but skinnier. Yeah.
Well, he's bigger than Kyler Murray, and Murray's making it work. I think he might be better. The Carolina defense is still a big problem, but that's all it does.
And then finally,
you want to do San Francisco is the favorite in the NFC West. I'll take Seattle. If it turns out Sam Darnold is the same Sam Darnold he was last year, well, that team's got a shot in a wobbly division.
I can't take the Rams because Stafford's too much of a question mark health-wise.
Agreed.
And nothing will work. Jimmy Garoppolo stinks. And I don't believe that the guy from Georgia, Stetson Bennett, I don't think he's the answer either. And I don't know what Arizona's doing. I literally have no idea. And I'm certainly not a Kyler Murray fan. So
yeah, I'm with you
on that.
I'm with you.
Charge, great run today.
You're the
great
best, my man.
Randy Moss story. Thank you very much. Safe travels back to Utah.
Menominee.
Beep-ba-ba-da-da.
That's right, because like, my brother and I are now experts in the field.
Yeah,
eh?
Right, because we're a band now. And,
well, so, except for him. I'm a band.
Oh, how can you do that, making me look bad? You're such a hose hand.
Yeah, well, take off.
Take off.
Football is back, and so is winning season at MyBookie. NFL, college football, and a brand new cash-out system give you options on how to bet and to win all season long. First two legs of your parlay hit? Great. Get out while the getting is good. Cash out and use the funds on another bet, or let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Use early cash outs as a tool to stay in control of the action at MyBookie. To get started, go to MyBookie.ag now and register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. Just use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. And for a limited time, a free chip to use in the MyBookie casino. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie. You know, one of the things I love most about Indeed is that it makes hiring so fast. In the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. If you are overwhelmed by the hiring process or you've been struggling to get your job posts seen, listen up. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. Your post jumps right to the top of the page for relevant candidates, so you reach exactly who you want faster. And it makes a huge difference, according to Indeed data. Sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this podcast will get $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the podcast by saying you heard about it right here on this pod. Indeed.com/Charlie Zulu Alpha Bravo Echo. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed, is all you need.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab-tested, real results. Go to Mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's Mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, folks, when you're right 52% of the time, you're wrong 48% of the time.
Why didn't you say that before?
Okay, Jimmy, you're off the hook. We got Miami, Cincinnati coming up. Any thoughts?
I certainly do, Brett. I hereby declare Miami to be Smooth Jimmy's lock of the week.
Every paper prints the damn betting line. You know, all anybody talks about is the point spread. Every local TV show prognosticator, every two-bit local columnist, I mean, even the average Joe man on the street, all they talk about is the damn point spread. And you know what? It sucks.
I'm telling you, go to the store, get a six-pack, get yourself a cigar and a roll of toilet paper, because when you see this game, you're going to
College Game of the Month, absolutely free.
Meet Stu Finer, nickname The Source.
Listen, listen, listen.
He promises, quote, to piss on your bookie's face.
We got a quarterback picking North Carolina State +4. You can't have that, you know.
I'll just call myself Mr. X. Yep, you can't go wrong with Mr. X.
Let's get ready to gamble.
I always wanted to be that old guy that hits it 160 down the middle and finds a way to beat the young kids that they used to beat me. Now I'm the old guy that can't hit it far, but I make up for it by being erratic.
You're right. You're also wild in addition
wildly
to short.
Yep.
And you probably have some creative shots in there, some tops, some skulls.
I really don't. It's more like I hit that so well. Why is the left fielder going back on the ball?
All right, Mr. X is here. As if Charge was not enough, we got your gambling news tonight as well. Before we get into the gambling stuff, this Clippers story is absolutely blowing up. Pablo Torre is doing incredible work as the only real journalist covering sports in America, finding out that Kawhi Leonard was given a $28 million no-show, no-work endorsement deal with a company that was bankrolled by owner Steve Ballmer, the sixth richest man on the planet. And now the league is in a real bind, Mr. X, because it can't be the only one that's out there. They're looking at Jalen Brunson's deal in New York, which was seemingly under market vis-a-vis the max salary he could have commanded. They're looking at Cuban with Dirk Nowitzki. Cuban came out and was like, I'm Team Ballmer on this. He would have never done this. Like, he's too smart to have done this. Really? See, they didn't count on the company going bankrupt and then having all their documents and all their dirty laundry available for people to go digging into, and nobody would have known about the fact that Kawhi Leonard was getting $28 million to never tweet about a company that supposedly planted trees so liberals with a pang of guilt could offset their carbon guilt over, I travel a lot. But don't worry, I paid to plant a bunch of trees. Somebody said, Mr. X, that LA basketball star gets caught taking millions under the table, but now has to take a real forestry job and plant 10,000 trees or get his contract voided by the league would be a sports comedy premise that would have lit up Blockbuster rental charts in 2003. My sense is, Mr. X, is that nothing is going to happen. You know why my sense is? Nothing ever fucking happens, okay? Nothing ever happens, okay? Yeah, they got caught red-handed. Yeah, this is shady. What's going to happen? What can you do? Suspend Kawhi Leonard? He never plays anyway. He already had a no-show, no-work job. It was called his NBA job. Oh, God.
Well, I got two thoughts hearing you say that. My first thought is, you're right, except this is not about Kawhi. This is about circumventing the cap.
Agreed.
And that is what should be when they close the doors and the owners look at each other and go, dude, what the hell are you doing? We had this agreement. You're a cheater. This isn't about rules and laws and, you know, who's going to get punished. This is about looking the other owners across the board table and going, yeah, I cheated. That's just a hard spot to be. Or if it's not a hard spot to be, why don't they make it a hard spot to be?
I think because it has to be not the only case. And so how many owners do you want to go putting under the microscope? ESPN or NBA, an NBA spokesman told ESPN they're aware of the report and they have begun an investigation. Of course.
Well, yeah. And every owner who does not agree with harsh something has got a closet you got to look into.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, and again, do you want lawyers up and down? I mean, can you imagine the lawyering from the sixth richest man on the planet, Steve Ballmer?
Yeah, that's why I say this isn't an NBA. I mean, it is, but this is an NBA thing. This is when the other owners have just, you know, this is a guy cheating at your poker table.
Oh, yeah.
You just have to look at him and go, no.
Well, and the Lakers thought they had Kawhi. They were sure he was in the bag. And at the last minute, he decides to go to the Clippers. $28 million under the table, plus max deal. It's just incredible. And like I said, the guy is constantly fucking hurt. He's good when he plays, but he's hurt pretty much all the time. And by the way, if you want to take away the Clippers draft picks, who cares? They draft like shit anyway. So, like, there's really no punishment they can impose upon him. And you can't find Steve Ballmer any amount of meaningful money. Money is not even real to Steve Ballmer. So,
They got to have some kind of, like, you know, in-the-room punishment, like the guy who comes in last in fantasy. They got to do something.
Well, that's why
I said. Because it's not about money.
Make them hand plant 10,000 trees. I played golf this week with a guy who's like, all right, you know how guys get their excuses out right away on the first tee? And he's like, I might be a little bit stiff today. I planted 6 trees in the yard. The missus wanted some trees. And I'm like, why didn't you hire that out? I'm like, you're like my age. What are you doing? That's backbreaking work, digging holes.
That's a dumb idea. But the second thing I thought of when you said that, this reminds me of, gosh, go back 20 years or 25 years in the NCAA when all the payments were coming under the table. The players couldn't keep quiet about it. They all wanted to brag about how much money they got paid to go play college basketball. I think of Chris Webber, and their answer was always, oh, everybody does it. And then so many programs... I remember Gene Stallings at Alabama going, no, not everybody does it. We don't do that. And it's just, I guess I'm saying it seems like a police yourselves kind of thing. Maybe we need the Hanson brothers, police themselves.
I don't know, but all I know is it's time to make some money on football. What we're going to do every week here on the show is we're going to do as much looking backwards, as much self-scouting at things that might not have gone well or things you should have seen, so we can be better looking into the future. And there's been a lot of people saying, hey, I want to get in on Mr. X's Rover and Overs, but not every service offers some of these super high-line kill-em opponent games where the opponent for a big program is some school you've never heard of. What do you say to people who are like, I can't find my Rover and Over?
Okay, two things. Number one, get another service.
Okay. Because you got to have multiple, right? You always got to have multiple because one of them may kick you off if you're winning too much. It's happening.
Well, I say this. You should have every legal service in your state funded on your account. You don't, to shop lines, not just for this, but for any week, it does matter. You don't sit there and play plus 6.5 in a book where another book has it at 7. You just don't. You're giving away money. So you should have every legal shop open to you. And if you don't have legal shops in your state, well, that's what my website's for. I'll show you some ones that you can find that are not so, that are better for states that don't allow it, right, where you can still feel safe. But the point here is there is a trick to the Rover and Overs in that many shops, and it's gotten to the point where I can hardly advise because there's just too many now. Mm-hmm. And people will say, what about this one? What about that? I can't shop that many. But I will say this, like with my guys, many of these mismatch, I'm just going to call them 1AA type games, they don't put those lines up till somewhere between 1 and 2 hours until kickoff. So it's not always that they don't have it. It's they don't have it until the last minute.
Got it.
Before you give up and say, my shop doesn't have these games, you gotta look later in the week. The place I use... You know, if you have a big time Michigan, whoever they played, it'll be up. But if you have a real, the ones you're talking about, the real no name schools, they don't put those up till between 1 and 2 hours ahead.
Okay.
I can't necessarily say why. I think it's just they really don't put that. There's a little play on those games, except for us Rover and Over guys, but they don't put them up till the end.
Right. And that said, I believe you told me the Rover and Overs weren't exactly cooking so far this year.
I'm going to find out more this week. I've got this eerie feeling. I know that sounds crazy, but I've got this feeling that they're getting smarter.
I don't doubt it.
After 30 years of this?
Well, if they're not getting smarter, they've got algorithms that are seeing patterns. Yeah. So if they're seeing patterns of Rover and Over bets on obscure games, they're going to think and go, hold on a second.
Well, yeah, it's a tricky one. The bottom line is in week one, there were so many matchups that just missed the Rover window of make that I started to look at them and go, is this a coincidence? Or are they onto my formula and pushing it a point and a half outside the window so that it's not there, because nobody really is pounding, you know, Texas Tech minus 60,
right,
unless you're Rover and Overing. So I'm starting, but this week it looks like it's going to come back. I think they'll be there. It wasn't that they were losing. It's just, there were so many that just didn't make the cut. And I thought it was too big a coincidence.
All right. Couple mop up items. You and I fucked up last week. We mistakenly made Arch Manning's dad, Archie, it's his grandfather.
Grandpa. Oh, yeah.
We misspoke on that. I'll take the blame. I was the lead dog on that. Thank you for the many people that corrected us on that. Also, this email from, let's see here. Hold on. This one from Mike Halbauer. He says, your reaction to Mr. X's boat seat story had me laughing out loud in my car. Enjoy all your shows for one reason or another, but for some reason this week's non-sports content was classic. That's the good. The bad is, Dave Jones says, "Who knock, knock, who's there? Interrupting pirate. Interrupt, arg. Zabe, please go back and listen to Mr. X trying to tell his story about buying a second boat and try to count how many times you either interrupted him or simply cut him off. Shades of Charch's trip when he moved out west. I know it's your show, but sometimes your guests are entertaining enough on their own to carry 90 seconds without your input. It can be a little frustrating for the listener, and I'm betting for the guest as well. I apologize, Mr. X, for if I did do that. I think what was happening was... I was seeing your disaster unfold in front of myself, and I wanted to play the game of, let me guess what you did. And that's what caused me to jump in and jump on more than I would have otherwise. But great story nonetheless.
Okay, let me say that 90 seconds. I don't know if I can carry 9 seconds on my own, but okay. And I actually thought I was doing the same thing, and I will just add this two bits. You and I have chatted before. I'm not a professional and a radio guy like you are. I find it really hard over the phone to figure out when it's my turn. When we're sitting side by side at a table, or God knows, back in the day in the creepy car with your padding all around it where we looked crazy in the parking lot, it's easy to have a conversation. It's hard to not step in on each other on the phone.
You're right. And what I should do is I should get you set up with a Skype, or not a Skype, but a StreamYard setup, a simple ring light with a phone holder, and then I will blur your face out, and that way we can see each other, but I won't publish it because, you know, you want to still remain mysterious, Mr. X.
Yeah, we tried that kind of thing before, but there was always, it seemed like, a second or two delay, and we did no better at that than we do now. So all it's right. All good. We'll just both try to be more patient. How's all that? Right.
Week one of college football saw record ratings. The numbers came out today, Wednesday, and they were through the roof. Texas, Ohio State was a 16 million viewership number, which is just incredible. Every other game was also super high numbers. It does need to be noted that Nielsen has tweaked their rating system to include streaming now. Okay. So that's going to help all sports, including the NFL. But no matter how many people want to complain about NIL and paying players and schools and this and that, it's not slowing us down from watching the games. That's
not at all.
That's the number one thing. And then to have Lee Corso go 6-0 on his picks.
What a man.
Which, had you bet his teams in a parlay, a money line parlay, it would have been $100 to win like 11 grand. Now, I ask you this. Forget Lee Corso, who got lucky, let's be honest. And he was doing his former teams, picking them, obviously.
Yeah. Sure.
Is a six-team money line parlay, Mr. X, a good idea?
For the house?
Really? So it's not a good idea to do that just for funsies as a guy?
You know, I think at the end, I think what happens now, I've seen the kids doing it with the little click and, you know, $5 and $10 bets. And it's not about being rich. It's about, if it's just piss away money. And what they don't understand is how often they're doing that.
They don't count up the fives and tens.
I don't think they do. This is like the dollar yo you throw in the middle of the craps table, which I won't do because it adds up and it's stupid.
Sounds cool though. Dollar yo for the dealers. You know, you're like, it's a dollar. Yeah. Who cares, right? Well, they add up.
Yeah. You do that 50-100 times a night. I don't know. I think that's kind of what the part, and the whole same thing with these same game parlays where the odds are horrific. And everybody gets wrapped up in them. But look, it's working. They're taking all the young kids' money.
Yeah.
But no, you won't see me go over three.
Okay.
Three all teams.
Right. All right. Where do we begin this week, either looking backwards or looking ahead to this weekend's lines? You and I are going to pick the Thursday game here every week on the podcast. But where do you want to start tonight?
Oh, let's start with
You emailed me, and I'm now looking for your email. It does not appear under your real name or Mr. X.
Huh. Funny.
It's funny how that is. But you had a whole plan in place.
And I'm looking at it, too, and I think it's last week's. But we'll edit that out.
How did you hide your email like this? I swear to God, I just saw it, and I'm typing in your name. How many email addresses do you use?
I may have inadvertently used the wrong one. Sorry. Don't know.
All right.
I thought it was my right one.
God, I'm looking for it. Now I'm going to have to go hand look for it. You had a story. You said you want to start with a story about my friend Buddy Christensen at Golfdom. That's not gambling related.
Okay. Yeah, if you're good with that, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, and this is not a creepy story, although
I know. Here's the email. It's from NS blank at Verizon. So that's the one.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's the one I always use with you, but okay.
Not necessarily, but go ahead.
That's the one you used to sign me up for Whiskey League. And I was like, yeah, you shouldn't have given me all those
knuckleheads. You have an NS redacted at Outlook, and you've got an NS redacted at Verizon.
Yeah, the Outlook I've never used. It was an automatic thing. Anyway, the story with Buddy is this. I am up in Maine, and I have a friend who's terminally ill. good dude. Did all of the, helped him with all the end of life kind of things, getting rid of his stuff, making all his arrangements, doing all this stuff. But then he's still here. Okay. He's beaten the schedule.
Wow.
Should have been done a long time ago. You know, it's inevitable. But so he gets to this summer and he's like, you know, how many days can we go out and have beers and say, you know, life's almost over? You know, I think he's getting bored. And he says, I want to play golf again. I want to try playing a couple times. Will you go with me to go buy a brand new set of clubs? To which I said, why are you buying a brand new set of clubs, dude? I mean, you don't buy green bananas. Why are you buying new golf clubs? And he says, well, what else would I do? I said, let me check. So I send a text to your guy, Buddy, at Golf Dome. And I told him the scenario. And I said, look, you know, I know people go there and get fitted for new clubs. And there's, you know, high-end players. Do they ever, like, trade them in, like, with a car? And do you have, like, a, you know, a used set or a nice set?
They got a whole section. Of use.
Yeah. I said, do you have something that would be good for my friend? Blah, blah, blah. He said, give me some time. I was like, okay. A couple days later, I get this text from him that says, give me your address. I don't know where to ship these.
Oh, wow.
And I said, he said, I think I've got something that would be good for you. He pieced together a set. And I said, here's the address. Sounds great. What do I owe you? And what's the best way to send it to you? To which he says, I hope your friend gets good use out of them.
That's very nice.
What a dude.
Yeah, what a dude. So Buddy fit a terminally ill friend of yours with clubs. What are you looking to do, sir? Get another 20 yards off your tee shots, maybe hit it straighter?
No, he didn't do that, but he put them together and mailed them to me. Wasn't that great?
Yeah, no. I was going to finish and say, okay. What are you looking to do, sir? Get 20 extra yards, hit it straighter? No, live another 6 months. Oh, okay. Well, here's some pings. Have fun. Yeah.
I can't help you with that part. Yeah. But anyway, I just thought I thought that was pretty amazing.
Okay, so let's talk NFL over-unders compared to baseball over-unders. And I asked you last week, why is the NFL so hard? And your basic shorthand answer was because there's not much wiggle room. There's just only 17 games. And so you just don't have as much variance as you do in baseball, 162.
Yes. I mean, you look at the NFL and that they're all, you know, 7 to 10 wins pretty much.
Yeah.
That's one or two bounces. Not to mention it. It's just, I just feel like there's, you know, you look at it and you go, oh, I like this one over 7.5 because I think we're going to get to 8. I mean, that just doesn't thrill me. In baseball, I'll go over 75 wins because I think we're going to get to 86. You got room. You can't look at an NFL over-under and feel like you're going to win it by two games or more. It's just more difficult to find a range that feels good.
Right. That said, is there any that look juicy to you?
Oh, gosh, yes.
There's still some ones that look juicy, huh?
Yeah.
If it was me, I would go and I would try to shoot for the teams that have possible collapse written all over them. Because when an NFL team goes into full souffle mode, then it's like a downhill roller coaster that cannot be stopped.
Yeah. Just like, I mean, it's very unusual, but I think I said last week, I went under on the Saints, which is crazy to go under on the worst
team.
What's
their number?
5.5, although it's been creeping down. I think it's 5 in many places. The bottom line, I think they're going to tank. I think new
they're
coach,
gonna win
new
three
GM.
Games.
Yeah, and where are you going to get the 3?
Right. How are they going to win 3? It's a miracle.
Yeah. The other thing about, and people are finally learning this, but when they went to 17, really your analysis really comes down to what I call the 3 extra games. You know, within a division, they play 14 common games, and then you get the 3 extras.
The weighted games.
Yeah. And that, I mean, it matters if you're playing 3 number ones that are good. I don't care if you're good, you know, and it matters if you're playing 3 terrible ones. I mean, just look at the Rams. The Rams play Detroit at Philly and Baltimore. I mean, how are you going to do in those 3?
Right.
And then in the same division, San Fran gets the Bears, the Browns, and the Giants. That's just if you're not looking closely at who the extra 3 are, you're making a mistake.
I believe the Lions have the hardest set of what is called strength of schedule games, the extra three games, because they play not just some really good teams, but also good quarterbacks as well. Because that's really what it comes down to. You're going to catch more good quarterbacks or not. I went through the Packers' schedule last year, and I said, look, their defense was pretty good when it was all said and done, but in terms of the quarterbacks they played, they caught Anthony Richardson, stinks. Will Levis, really stinks. Stafford they caught without all their wide receivers. No Puka Nacua, yeah. No Cooper Kupp.
Sure.
They caught Brandon Allen for the Niners instead of Brock Purdy. They caught Spencer Rattler for the Saints.
And who you're going to catch all year.
Right, so they caught a lot. And then I looked at, okay, how was the Packers' defense against the quarterbacks in division? And it turns out they offered very little resistance, that the three guys, Goff, Darnold, and Williams, went 75% completions, and they had a passer rating of 107.6. So when people are like, they're already a top 10 defense without Micah Parsons, I'm like, yeah. But against the better quarterbacks, they didn't do much to wreck any games. So they needed somebody who would give them a jolt.
Oh, there's nothing that helps a defense like a backup quarterback. That's for sure.
Right, exactly. So anyway, yeah, you're right. So those three games do matter a lot, the extra three games for strength of schedule. What else about the NFL you want to talk about? Do you want to quickly look at this Thursday game? I saw where 88% of the money was on Philly. -8, I believe, or -7 now it is. Let me check that line for you. Eagles, yes, -7 at home. You got 8?
Oh, are you seeing 7?
I'm seeing 7 on ESPN, but this story is dated September 1st. So it's 2 days old. Let me, first of all,
I'm seeing 8.5. I've not seen a 7 anywhere.
Okay, hold on. What's the go-to website that keeps up to the minute across the board, different sports books? Lines.
I use scoresandodds.com.
Okay.
Have for 30 years.
Scoresandodds.com. Is that run by any major gambling outfit, or it's an independent site that's just devoted to giving
gamblers information? That is something that I've never even thought about. It just has the current lines, the current scores. It will show many books, and I'm seeing all the books at 8 or 8.5. You scared me at 7, because that would have been a huge move the wrong way.
It opened 7.
Oh, okay, sure. But that, then if you go, okay,
and
you're
now,
looking at it.
7.5, 8.5, 7.5. It's currently sitting at 8.5. And I believe I saw 88% of the public is on the the Eagles. I'm taking the Cowboys, and I'm taking them with two fists because I want to start out by being Mr. Contrarian. It's a big, fat number, and I think that bettors – and the odds makers bake too much narrative into what's going to actually happen on the football field. They're like, well, the narrative is the Cowboys stink. Jerry's a fool. Dak's terrible. Yes. They don't have this. They don't have that. Okay. They're at full strength like every team is right now coming out of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Cowboys +8.5, and it makes me sick to even say that, but that tells me I'm on the right side.
I agree with you, and I would add this, you know, in week one, I guess let's just say there's a lot to be determined. But week one, the lines are really close. I mean, you got 8 games that are less than a field goal.
Yeah.
8 out of those. And then you got 3 more that are a field goal. So that's 11 games at 3 or less. There's only 2 that are a touchdown, Denver and Philly.
Commanders are -6 against the Giants. Bengals are 5.5 against the Brown. I know. Saints and Cardinals are 6.5 right now, so that's close. Cardinals -6.5.
Yeah. The only ones that are 7 is Denver's 7.5, Philly's 8.5. Anyway,
I got Denver at 8.5 right now, so there's a lot of volatility out there, so do check your
listings. Can I get Tennessee with you then if you're dishing 8.5?
Like that game I just would not bet. I have certain teams that perpetually reside in my gambling blind spot. Yeah, that's all the games that are in the shut up. I don't want to hear from you. But yeah, the Titans and the Jaguars are always like, I don't know even how to bet these teams, but okay. So
yeah, you are right. It just moved to 8.5 in the last, half a day. You're right. Anyway, I agree with you. I would, I don't do a lot early. I mean, I do, but I,
you always say go slow. Oh, no. You always say go slow early on.
And 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yep. And then your 2 week number could be something great, like 7-2. And you're kicking yourself going, why the fuck was I going slow? I should have pounced before the odds makers caught up.
Yeah. I don't work that way, but I will say for the last 3 years on the site, I always say trickle in slow. You know, here's a handful. And last year, a dude said, man, I can't remember the numbers, but the folks track it more than I do. But he was like, you say that every year. The best you do all year is weeks 1 and 2. When are you going to learn? And I said, well, not this year. And I did it again. So I'm still not going to. But I do like, I agree with you on Dallas +8. I also agree that we'll probably pick the total again. I'd go under because it's week 1. And I have a great prop for the first game.
All right, let's hear it.
I believe strongly that Dak Prescott is going to throw until his arm falls off this year. He's going to throw and throw and throw. The makeup of that team, he's finally got some receivers. I'm not saying he's going to succeed. I'm saying he's going to keep throwing. So I'm going over 35.5 attempts for Dak in a game he should be trailing. And they may not. I don't know how much they're going to even pretend to run the ball. So I'm going over on Dak's passing attempts.
Okay, very good. Quick thought on college, as this is sort of the take a breath weekend after the blockbuster matchups to start the year. You've got Ohio State playing Grambling. I'm like, Jesus, who scheduled this? Maybe the juiciest one is of Oregon playing Oklahoma State and the war of words between Mike Gundy and Dan Lanning about who spends more on their football program.
Yeah. Now, Ohio State's one of those ones that, as I mentioned, I don't see any lines on that.
And no.
I'm sure we will at the last second. It'll probably be Ohio State 50 with a total of 52 or something like that.
Right.
I think they, okay, while you're doing those, I get the Texas schools mixed up without looking. Texas Tech, I believe, last week and this week have been favored by a total of 105 points. Somebody opened up with the two biggest cream puffs I think I ever remember. Usually you get one of those. They laid 60 last week, and they're laying like 50, something like 50 this week. Now I'm going to have to look it up. But
yeah, I saw that as I'm scrolling past it. Also, one of the better games of the weekend.
They're only laying 58.5.
Oh, just 58.5. Okay, yes. One of the best games of the weekend in terms of two teams that are both ranked. Michigan is at Oklahoma. Michigan ranked 15th, Oklahoma ranked 18th. Otherwise, there's some real dogs out there for sure. I think a lot of people are going to be chasing the Alabama weakness angle because Alabama ranked 21st, the lowest they've been ranked in forever, are 36.5 point favorites over Louisiana Monroe. And I think a lot of suckers are going to want to jump on Louisiana Monroe thinking, Alabama's screwed, they're never going to be good again. I would go heavy the other way. I think this is a great correction week. If Alabama doesn't win like 66-3, I'll be surprised.
You're probably right. And the other thing I meant to say, I'm sorry, let me back up to the Cowboys. Has there ever been a dead cat bounce in week one? Because losing Parsons kind of makes me think about, like, everybody's, oh my gosh, they lost Parsons, like when you do a dead cat losing the quarterback. And I'm like, the rest of the players have been in camp all summer. This could be a, you know, have one good game before you go, like, you know, we really needed that guy.
Yeah. Get this. The Athletic somehow did a poll of fans for respective teams in the NFL to gauge their optimism for the upcoming season. And I'd say all but about seven teams, there was at least 51% optimistic about the year. The Cowboys were in that bottom seven, and their fan optimism was 13%.
I wonder if they'd had that benchmark in the Snyder era, I think we'd have had below 13.
Oh, I think there definitely would have been years where we're like, we got no shot whatsoever. I mean, it's the NFL, so anything could happen, but I just went through the charts before I got you on the pod here about if you couldn't take the division favorite in all eight divisions, who would be your next choice? And that was an interesting way to look at it, and it was an interesting discussion that we had.
Yeah.
Okay, for more, as always, go to callmemrx.com, and you can find Mr. X on Twitter at just call me Mr. X. As always, bet with your head and all over it, and only bet as much as you can afford to win. And we will see everyone next week, and hopefully you did very nicely against the spread. All right, Mr. X.
Sounds like a plan. Take care.
Sounds good. That's it for me this week, or today, I should say tomorrow. The return of You Are Looking Live for our subscribers. If you would like to subscribe to the Zabecast, go to zabe.com/premium and be part of Fridays right here. Thanks for listening. Have a great Thursday, and we will see you next time.
I'm the main attraction. You can spread and tell it to the masses. Decoded colors through the glasses. Lights, camera, action. Everybody checking for the...
Football is back. And so is winning season at MyBookie. NFL, college football, and a brand new cash-out system give you options on how to bet and to win all season long. First two legs of your parlay hit? Great. Get out while the getting is good. Cash out and use the funds on another bet. Or let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Use early cash outs as a tool to stay in control of the action at MyBookie. To get started, go to MyBookie.ag now and register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. Just use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. And for a limited time, a free chip to use in the MyBookie casino. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.